back here in 15 minutes. I am told we are live, so we're going to continue on with our agenda for today, June 8th. Next, we're going to move on to our petitions. Number 9, petition 191, no wake zone at Cedar Shore Boat Launch and Recreational Area. We've got a few folks lined up for this, so Director Kirschman, I'll let you take the lead from here.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, Tom Kirschman, Director of the Wildlife Division. So you have two petitions in front of you today. The first one that you just mentioned, Madam Chair, is in respect to a no-wake zone at Cedar Shore Boat Ranch and Rec Area. Quickly for the commissioners, again, for new commissioners, on the petition process. So this is a process that's available to the public. Should they have some type of regulation, some aspect of a season, whether it's hunting, fishing, or the desire to establish a new regulation, this is a public venue for them to bring the concept in front of the commission, for you to have a discussion on the merit and the thought of what the ask may be. Again, it might be asking for you to repeal a specific regulation, it might be asking you to adjust one, or it might be asking you to create a new regulation or requirement. So what happens in the petition process? The individual from the public will submit that. We bring this in front of you. You have the opportunity to hear out the justification reasons from the individual who submitted the petition, why they submitted it. We will then, as an agency, share some comments and perspectives with you as well, and provide typically a recommendation where we stand on the petition itself. But then essentially you have two options in front of you with the petition. Number one, you can accept the petition, one or two or both of these today. And upon accepting it, that is the point then where it initiates the rule promulgation process, where we as the agency will work with you as the commission, make sure that it is officially put out in a public notice per requirements of state statute, get it posted in the appropriate newspapers, and then have a public notice then, which would end in a public hearing at your next commission meeting, where the public can then weigh in and provide comment, whether in person, virtually, or written comments to you as well. Then at that point, you have the opportunity to either finalize it, i.e. accept it, and then it continues on with the rule promulgation process. Or at that point, after you've had that public hearing and input, you can also deny it, and at that point, it would be done. Also today, your other option is to deny the petition here today. And if you decide to go that direction, then what you would do is you'd have your discussions, come up with your reasons why, and then we would work with you to formulate a resolution that you would have to then take formal action on, expressing the reasons for denying the petition. At that point, it would be over as well. So essentially, commissioners, you have two options in front of you today, either deny a petition or accept it. If you accept it, we'll continue on that rule promulgation process. So I just wanted to go over that very quickly for Commissioner White and Commissioner Call, just as a, I know you've heard of petitions before, but just again as a refresher on how this action will work. So, Madam Chair, we have two petitions in front of you. The first one, number 191, is a request for a no-wake zone at Cedar Shore Boat Launch and Rec Area. This was submitted by Mr. Jonathan Magar. I apologize for mispronouncing it.
No, you got it pretty darn close.
Well, I'll take close then today. And usually what we do, commissioners, is we give the petitioner the opportunity to come forward and visit with you, speak with you, and then we will follow up as an agency. So, Madam Chair, with your indulgence, I would ask that the petitioner come forward and address the commission and let you ask any questions you may have, and then we'll follow up with our law enforcement chief, Sam Scalehouse, afterwards.
Yes, please. Welcome
to you guys as well. Thank you for having me today. I wrote some notes down, so I'm just going to go through them. Thank you for letting me come and speak to the commission on my proposed rule change for a no-wake zone at Cedar Shore Recreation Area in Chamberlain. First, I want everybody to have the right to be out on the water, whether you're a shore angler or a boater. Everybody wants to be able to enjoy the water in their own aspects. I feel that the shore anglers get less chances to fish, and those areas are drove through by the boaters. Many boats come out of the Cedar Shore boat launch and go northeast, or they go straight north over the areas that we as shore anglers fish. It creates noise, but it also creates wakes and waves of 3 to 4 feet. So we're having to push back away from the rocks, from the shore, and it creates an issue for us with our gear. This happens at the southeast corner of the point at Cedar Shore, where they come out of the boat launch going south. It also happens going north along that point as well. I feel that there's no respect for our areas that we are fishing. 1 out of 10 boats goes south and then goes east and then goes north to avoid our areas that we fish. But many of them do not follow that respect for us. They come through at high rates of speed, either leaving or returning to the marina. The loss of control of your rudder craft comes to mind because you're coming in at 30 to 40 miles an hour sometimes. You're getting within 10 to 15 feet from shore when you're coming in from the northeast of that area. It causes for injury or even death if somebody would lose control of their watercraft or their boat and they would put it up onto those rocks that we fish at. Some boats come, you know, even closer than that, but many of them stay within that 10 to 15 foot range away from where we are at. This scenario is intensified during tournaments when you have many boats going out at the same time and returning as well. Sometimes you'll have 80 to 100 boats coming in at the same time. You know, it's a constant half an hour to 45 minutes of waves and wake, and, you know, it pretty much ruins our fishing, you know, for us as shore anglers. I've had to quit fishing due to, you know, spooking of fish, but also safety concerns, and frankly, I'm not happy with what's happening with it. I feel like there's no respect of us by the boats, and we have a fair right to be there as much as they do. I brought these concerns to the response of Cedar Shore, and I've also sent letters to tournament directors with no response in return from them saying that they will address it. It is an issue for the area, through my mind. I fished there for 20 years. It's gotten worse every year. More boats, more traffic. At this time, I'm requesting that there is a no-wake zone be created for the enjoyment and safety of both groups of anglers to the east, north, and south of the marina at Cedar Shore, so that everyone can enjoy the water. I have spoken to some friends that also fish out there from shore. Their names are Jordan Hanisch, Matt Doolin, Caleb Gibson, and Travis Hassard. I'm also from Sioux Falls, so I travel out there pretty frequently to fish, but when I see there's a tournament happening, I don't like to go. I try to avoid those times, but I'd really like a chance for this to happen for the shore anglers mainly, to give us an opportunity to be able to fish with some calm waters and not have to worry about our safety or even the boats. Thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you.
Any other questions for me?
I think we'll wait.
Here to speak into the microphone right now.
All your point.
All right. So, Madam Chair, again, thank you, Tom Kirschman, Director of the Wildlife Division. I am going to ask Sam Scalehouse to come up and visit on this particular topic. The no-wake zones across the state are oftentimes very situational, used for multiple reasons, but there comes other considerations in respect to when we consider new no-wake zones across the state. Sure, appreciate Mr. Mogger sharing some of his concerns and perception of what happened there. There's no doubt the area that he is talking about is a very busy place when it comes to fishing, both fishing and shoreline fishing. And part of that is because of the wonderful resource that we have there between the Missouri River and then the fisheries associated with it. So I am going to turn this over to Sam. He's going to talk to you about a few pieces of no wake zones, and in particular on this particular area. Liz, I would also ask you, we're going to pop up just a picture or pictorial so everybody has a good understanding of where the Cedar Shore Marina is at, the current or existing no wake zone, and then what Mr. Magura had presented to you of asking for his no wake zone through the petition here. So, Madam Chair, I'm going to turn it over to our Chief Law Enforcement Officer, Sam Scalehouse.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Member of the Commission, Secretary Roblin. So just to talk a little bit about no wake zones in general. While it's not written down, not established in rule or law, no wake zones are typically established for one of three or four reasons. Safety being probably the number one reason. Safety at boat docks, congested areas, things like that. Safety maybe where we have navigational hazards underwater. We have no wake zones for protection of property. When you think of some of our marinas that we have across the state where you got boats docked, moored, a lot of equipment there, the wave action can really damage some of those boats. And then the third reason is erosion. When you think of some of our small impoundments, some of our small lakes, we want to protect some of those shorelines. And then the last reason is a combination there. Sometimes you'll see, like in a marina, it's congested and we're protecting property. So those are the primary reasons that we establish wake zones. Again, it's not written down in rules, not in state law anywhere that's the reason. But when you look across the state and you look at the wake zones that we have, those are the reasons that we have no wake zones. A no wake zone is 5 miles an hour or less. So when you look at this location, if you can, here we got it. Nick just got it up there. The point on the I call it a breakwater, the long riprap point coming out there. The point of those is to break the waves, right? To protect the marina, and we have quite a few of those up and down the Missouri River. Every reservoir has several of those, and they look very similar to that. So the challenge with putting a no wake zone in this area is it's the distance that's involved. We're putting buoys in deep water areas, and it's tough to keep a buoy in place for a whole summer. Speaking from experience, many, many hours spent chasing down a buoy on the other side of the lake because as you guys well know, the wind and the waves, they're powerful at times, and it's tough to get there. We'd be placing buoys in this particular area. We'd be placing them out in the main channel of the Missouri River. Creates navigational hazards for other boaters. Low light, if you think low light, low visibility, maybe the fog or something like that. We're going to have buoys out in the main portion of the lake. And while it's a logistical challenge to try to maintain those buoys there. We struggle in areas where the water's calm. People like to hook up to them. They like to tie off on a buoy to maybe, because there's usually a good anchor there. And they like to sit there and either fish or just float there. Lastly, just creates some challenges for us in the rulemaking process as well. So, So that's the wake zone we're seeing here. As you can see, the, I don't know, it looks to me like a yellow kind of portion zone up there. That's an approximate location of where the current wake zone is at Cedar Shores. And then I have Sam Nichols with our GIS staff. They do a great job of putting this on a map for us. She kind of drew out where the 300-yard circle would be from that point there off the breakwater. And so that's kind of the lowdown on no wake zones, where they are, why they're established. So,
Madam Chair, if I may add to that again, thank you, Sam, for talking about some of those items related to no wake zones. Again, in this particular incident, there is a no wake zone within the marina itself, again, due to the slips and the boats and the equipment that are in there right now. The other part of this and a consideration is we looked at the petition and to bring forward our recommendation of denial is certainly understand and appreciate sometimes the challenges associated with waves that boats create in doing shore fishing. But this would be one spot of hundreds, if not thousands, of places on many lakes and bodies of waters across the state where shore fishing occurs, boating activity occurs, and where do you stop or draw the line on and trying to address waves that would come in from boating activity. So, you know, the last thing that I will offer to you, and we'll be happy to entertain any questions you may have. The petitioner did mention the concept of multiple tournaments and just the load and high traffic because of the boats coming in and out of tournaments, in particular in this area. While we don't believe that it would be necessary to put the no wake zone in, but that's certainly something that we as an agency, as we talk to tournament directors and those that organize tournaments and our own staff working out there, just making people aware of respect, consideration of those shore fishing. And so we can continue to have some of those conversations and try to promote some of that water ethics, if I may, and boating etiquette out there. And so I think there's some other ways that we can work without actually imposing another regulation to help address some of these concerns and issues that arise right here. So with that, Madam Chair, our recommendation is denial of this one, and we would stand by to answer any questions that you may have.
I'm going to try this, Chris. Do we have any questions?
Madam Chair.
Yes, go ahead.
Commissioner Light, I guess. The question I had, the proposal was that are we actually talking, they're coming within 15 feet of those rocks, or where they're... Am I understanding that they're going to be standing on the outside edge of that, and they're coming within 15 to 20 feet of those people that are out there fishing?
That is correct, sir.
Yeah, Commissioner White, again, yes, there are individuals, as the petitioner, that fish right off of the point on the riprap, the rocks that are placed along there. And I'm sure based on the depth of the water there are some boats that come in fairly close proximity to the break there itself, the structure.
Additional questions, Commissioner White? Commissioner
Beast? Commissioner Beast. Do we have any idea how many people actually use that? Is there a great number when you're out there, or just yes, a handful of people?
Could I have you come back up here so those that are online can hear you? Oh, there we go.
No, I'll come in here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sometimes there's 40 to 50 people fishing up there when I'm there. You know, sometimes there's only a handful of people, but it depends on what the bite is doing. When I fished the far southeast corner along that the edge of the point. That's usually where the best fishing is, but that's where a lot of people do fish. It really depends on what's happening that day, what the weather is doing. But you know, there's times where there's 25 vehicles out there fishing. You know, every day is different. You know. It's heavier in the spring and in the fall, less in the summertime because it's hot and there is not there. Fish don't bite. So it's mainly for the spring and the fall that where we have the most issues for us as shore anglers.
Any follow-up questions? Commissioner White?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Are there any legal rights that they have standing on those rocks of how far a boat has to be away from them?
No, not really.
I'm asking.
Oh, sorry about that. Commissioner White, and I'll look to Sam and Mr. Katilnik, but I don't believe so. Not that I'm aware of that. There is a minimum distance that they have to or cannot be within proximity to the shoreline.
So just poor judgment.
It will come down to individual boaters, yes. You know, and I can think of examples where we are in central South Dakota and Pier. You have multiple of these breaks and points like that where you will see multiple shoreline anglers, and obviously you're going to have a lot of boating activity. You know, it's going to happen, and it does happen everywhere out there with shoreline fishing. But again, we also have to remember boats could be 20 yards out or they could be 200 yards out, and the waves can still be created, right? And we're also in a part of the state, and you think of the Missouri River, regardless what stretch you're on, when the wind does decide to blow, we have that wave action as well. And so that's why Sam was describing all those challenges that come with in creating a no-wake zone, especially when you're talking about a body of water on the main stem of the river also.
Additional questions? Commissioner Lockin, did you have a question?
Yeah, Commissioner Lockin here. I realize it's a safety issue, but I apologize. I have to ask, who built this breakwater? Who created it? Was it Corps of Engineers, or did the marina create it, or where did it come from?
So, Commissioner Lockin, I just looked to my friends to my right from the parks, and when the marina was built, that was part of the construction of the marina for the purpose of obviously protecting and providing that protection of wave action and wind and stuff like that for slips, boats that are staying there for long periods of time.
So the marina did it for themselves?
I would assume that was part of the overall project, but I can refer to parks as well if they have any other additional information.
Jeff Meter and Parks and Recreation Director. That marina was constructed approximately in the early 90s. It was expressly built at the time for the marina to protect the boats in the marina, to provide a safe harbor for that. And with a lot of those types of facilities, shore fishing tends to develop around those, especially along the rocks, popular areas for fishermen to go. Same thing exists down in the Parks Marina.
Follow-up, Commissioner
Larkin?
Any other questions? I do have a few couple questions. John, I'll ask you first.
Yes.
And I know you said that you live in Sioux Falls, but you travel up there to do a lot of fishing. Tournaments seem to bring the biggest concerns or trouble that you've noticed. Can you give me an idea of how many tournaments a year we're talking about?
I will say that last year I was out there during a tournament, and we had over 80 boats come in within 20 minutes. They were all going at high rates of speed when they got close to shore. A lot of times those boats were 10 to 15 feet apart, but they were pretty much braking, or they were stopped, slowing down so they could go into the marina. But we had over 80 boats at one time coming in within a 20-minute time period. I had to quit fishing because I felt like the wave action from them coming in ruined the fishing for me. But I know that there's a lot of tournaments. That's the only one that I've been part of, but I've had friends that have been out there for tournaments that have shore fished, and they say it's an issue with pretty much every tournament that's out there for the shore anglers.
You mentioned the concern over injury or even death. Are you aware of anybody that's been hurt?
No, not that I know of. But it's something that eventually could happen for the boater or the shore angler. I'm really surprised on how many boaters that I see that come in being reckless and being too fast for what's going on around them. And it concerns me with my own safety. because I feel like if you're not paying attention to what's going on, are you going to put your boat up on the rocks, or are you going to hit somebody, you know, or you're going to injure yourself?
Follow-up question for Director Cushman. So if the GFMP would decide to move forward with a wake zone anywhere, what are the requirements for signage? Does there have to be a buoy? What do you have to do?
Madam Chair, so when a commission establishes the rule of a no wake zone, we do, as the agency, put the buoys out there, whether it's our officers, whether it's working with park staff, depending on the location, but we're going to have buoys out there to indicate. And there are different types of buoys based on the type of marking or closure that we have. We, for example, we have some that are, you mark off an area that's essentially no wake zone, but it's electric motors only. So we have buoys up spaced at specific intervals so that people can see it that says electric motors only, for example. That's just one example. So, but that work, that is incumbent on us as an agency. We are the ones that make sure they're out there. And as law enforcement chief Sam Scalhouse just described, you know, especially when you consider water like this, that becomes more of a challenge just on the main stem of the Missouri River. And even in some of our other lakes, bigger lakes, that if there isn't a wake zone with wind activity and all those things, buoy placement is a challenge and maintaining it is even more. But that's incumbent on us to make sure that they're marked based on the criteria that are established and the distances and those things.
Very good, thank you. Any other questions for John, Director Cushman, or Chief Scalhouse?
I have one last thing to add to your scenario with the buoys. I completely understand where you guys are coming from with that. I don't know if some signage on the shore access saying, please, you know, slow down, please be respectful of other people using the area, because I completely understand the buoy situation with, you're dealing with current, you're dealing with waves, you're having to chase buoys down, but just putting up signage to help us as shore anglers to have a place that we feel comfortable being in, is that something that could happen instead of a buoy or even a no-wake zone? Just, you know, some kind of signage saying, please slow down for shore anglers when you come out, come in and out of the boat launch, or say, please go south of the boat launch and then come in, or
yeah.
I'm just trying to make a suggestion I completely understand where you guys are coming from. But it would help us to have some kind of signage or something to let those anglers know we have as much right to be there as they do, but we feel that we are disrespected by them.
All right. Thank you, John.
Thank you very much.
At this time, we have no other questions. Any comments from the commission? The department is suggesting, recommending denial on this petition. I'm going to throw my two cents in here. I'm sensitive to what you brought forward, because we don't want to turn away those folks that don't have boats. We want them to have a safe place to fish. And we know oftentimes it's not just adults. That's where the kids are going to go. They're going to jump on their bikes and they're going to go somewhere where they can fish from the shoreline. But I also recognize, where do we stop? I recognize this was built by the resort that's there. And I'm definitely leaning more toward having the department, as Director Kirschman suggested, do a little bit of outreach to the tournament directors and to Cedar Shore, just to see if we can go down that path first. And I appreciate you reaching out to them, but sometimes coming from a department like the GFMP might lift a little bit more weight on that.
Yes.
So that's where I'm leaning. I would certainly entertain some suggestions from those on the commission and some direction on how you would like to move forward with this.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Commissioner.
I think you're right on. Again, some of the suggestions about signage is something that isn't impeding the process of boats coming in or the loss of buoys. I do think that they have a point, and some of your recommendations are right online. So I would also agree with what you're saying. Thank you.
Commissioner Locken?
Yes, I would move to deny this petition. I think it's probably just not the right timing. I agree with what the other, you and Commissioner White have said, and probably some signage, and let's give it a try. As a whole, voters are a very polite group. I suppose when tournaments are on, they're coming in hot because they're trying to beat a deadline. So I would move to deny the petition.
Motion on the table is to deny. We need a second.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Whitmire. Any questions on the motion? I see no questions. All those in favor of to approve the denial that has been recommended by the department, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The recommendation to deny is approved, and I anticipate that the department will visit with you, John. So thank you.
Thank you very much.